Hello, and welcome to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney. Before this week's episode, a few friendly reminders. New episodes drop every Thursday afternoon.
Opinions and views expressed in this show are not necessarily those of the Arts Asylum, Mutual Musicians Foundation, or KOJH 104.7.
If you have any questions, concerns, or suggestions, please contact us via email at couchchats@gmail.com or find us on Facebook or Instagram at couchchats. And don't forget, that's couch with a K. Please also remember to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Bye.
Hello, 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 and welcome to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney.
Hello.
I'm Corey.
I'm Courtney.
And today on the show we have our really good friend, Tyson Murphy.
Hola.
Hello, Tyson.
Hi, guys.
Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back. I'm so excited.
It's true.
For the you listeners out there who maybe didn't remember, Tyson was the result of the episode that mysteriously deleted.
Yes, my memory card exploded. I broke it in half and threw it in the trash during that moment because it was so bad.
I'm just so happy to be back. Thank you for bringing me back to the couch.
To the couch.
And you are in the third space of Couch Chats. Uh-huh. Currently, we are refugees of our own location right now.
It's true. Yeah, we are in. This is office chats. Floor chats, chair chats, anything but couch chats.
Yeah.
Because we do not have
the inaugural chair chat in this space.
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
so great. Of course we needed to pick you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Always open to change. Right?
Always open.
Always open to change.
Thank goodness, because there's a lot around us right now.
It's so good.
So we are on week 40 of couch chats.
Nice.
And I know that everyone knows simple math, but that means that we only have 12 more until we've been doing this for a year.
I know. It's so crazy. That's the episode that I think Alex has agreed to come on, is the, like, Alex is fine annual episode.
Right. He comes on every 52 weeks to let us know that
my appendix is gone, but it's fine now. Because that's what happened. We, like, started recording this and his appendix exploded.
During the recording.
That weekend. After our very first
So
episode.
We made a post about it on the podcast and we were like, you know, Alex is in the hospital. We'll keep you all updated.
Yeah.
And then we forgot to update.
We did. And then some people started asking us.
They were like, is Alex okay? And so now we have to let our fives and tens know Alex is doing fine.
He is doing fine.
He is.
Yeah. Yes.
It's
just going to Barcelona, but he's fine.
He's on a world tour, like Britney Spears, okay?
I know. I like to call it his rainbow tour from Evita. Let's hear it for the rainbow tour. But the energy is definitely alive here today.
It's true.
We'll get into all of the reasons why you're on the show, but first, Tyson, can you let us know how the hell you got to the couch/office chats today?
Well,
And don't say I drove here.
I was going to say, because I got invited back.
Yeah.
Because my first visit never got published. So, you know, I've been in the space somewhere floating around. Mm-hmm. And then, that's why I'm here, because you guys... Me here.
Yeah.
I don't know what I did to earn this seat.
How do we know you, though?
Oh, how do you know me? I mean, it's been, is it 15 years? It's longer than that, because I've been in New York. I was in New York for 15 years. I've been back a year and a half. Uh-huh. But I knew you guys before that.
Tyson and I are on solid year 11 of, like,
solid
really being, like,
friends,
all
friends.
The time, yeah. Like, yeah. Being like, what's up?
When you lived in New York, Corey, did you, was Tyson
we did not hang out.
We did not hang out.
We did not hang out.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
What year was that?
2004.
Yeah, that was my second full year there.
Yeah.
I was still in school, and that's crazy.
That is crazy. Yeah, and we met at a Harlan show.
That's right.
I believe
it was the Dixie Swim Club.
Yeah, there we go.
I always forget. I think it was the Dixie Swim Club with Deb Bluford, and it was in the private box.
Yes,
we
did. Yes.
And it was
almost like instant love. I mean,
it's true.
I knew.
You knew that my friend Tyson was coming that night.
I knew your friend Tyson was coming. I knew I couldn't find you because the Heartland lobby was very spacious.
Uh-huh.
And I came up the elevator, as you do. We were coming late, and
as you
Tyson
do.
breezed by, and I was like, I don't know where Corey is, but that man in the fabulous velvet blazer will take us to him. I was like,
And then he did.
And then he did, and I was like, look at this. It happened, just like I said. I was like, it's that blazer, and it's just perfect. It's blowing past us. We've got to follow it.
Well, the reason why Tyson was at the Heartland show that night is because our entire relationship mm-hmm. has been based upon going to see a theatrical production together.
Yes.
And at least three or four of those were the American Heartland based around Christmas.
Because I was coming in to visit mm-hmm. during the holiday season, and that just kind of became our tradition, and that was our space to go to.
Yeah.
No longer exists. It doesn't. But
isn't it really crazy? I mean, Matt, you're not Matt. My husband's name is Matt. Tyson and I's first show at the Heartland together, I believe, was a Tuna Christmas.
It was a Tuna Christmas.
A Tuna Christmas.
Yeah, and we sat in the second row and like.
Trees in that, for anyone who wants to know. Worst tech I've ever experienced.
So, I'm sure I had a flask in my blazer as well.
Oh, I'm positive.
I'm almost certain I did.
We had a lot of things in our blazers that evening.
Yes,
those of Tuna Christmas. I was I don't think I recall that.
No, not a Disney Swim.
No.
we were behaving ourselves for the most part.
But that's like when like you still smoked, like we were going out to the roof to smoke. Like we went to Out of Bounds beforehand to get real trashy.
I'm a whole new person these days. I have no idea who you're talking to because
you don't drink or smoke.
And you were blind. I was like platinum because my friend Mikey in New York was like a hairdresser.
Yeah.
And he was doing this experiment on me. I'd give him Diesel jeans because I used to work for Diesel, so I'd give him jeans.
Can you tell us a little bit about that after you finish?
Yeah. I used to give him jeans. I mean, I used to go over to his apartment in Hoboken and I would sit there and he would get the peroxide out. And we would just drink. I would sit there and he would just color my hair.
All right.
It was so awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I literally went so platinum. I was like, you know, pink. I was like her version of platinum, almost gray platinum at one point. And then I started doing the color stream. I mean, who did I think I was?
Well,
it was
I don't
cute,
know.
Though.
You were cute. It was cute for 2006.
Yeah, I mean, now the color thing is back. I mean, I feel like I need to like
get back in it.
Go platinum purple or something.
While Tyson tells the story of why he moved to New York and what he did there, I'm going to be Facebook searching that platinum blonde photo.
Picture, one of the very first pictures of us, you're platinum, because you also came in and did a fashion show. That was like we hung out the night of the Heartland thing, but we didn't really, you know, we talked, but that was like the one time and then you were gone.
Yeah.
And back to New York, and then you did a fashion show for us where you came in an in-seat, and that is when I recall the very platinum.
I was very platinum at that point, yes.
And we were...
You were very platinum at that point.
Very platinum at that point, yes. Yeah. That is a great picture. Wow, how young am I there?
Well, yeah.
That's before I started using moisturizer, too.
Well, we would just...
Kiehl's moisturizer, everyone. Ultra facial Kiehl's moisturizer.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Which is now officially sponsored by Couch Chats.
I mean, thank you. Please send some money. But seriously, it is extraordinary. Tangent.
So yeah, so you moved to New York in 2003?
2002. I went to school in New York, and then I did this funny thing where I fell into fashion, and I started working for a little startup company named Diesel, and I was an intern for like a year, and then I got hired full-time and kind of started my fashion career with them, and I was there for almost 8 years, and I finished being the men's PR PR marketing manager for the entire nation. So I worked with editors and magazines and lots of cool stylists and celebrities, and it was fun. It was like it was wonderful. And then I went off and became a modeling person. I did some models. I built a fashion board for a modeling agency in New York, and then went back and worked in luxury women's fashion, and then into event production, and now I'm here in Kansas City.
That's right.
Working for A to Z.
Working for A to Z Theatrical, yeah.
Yeah, and I know Kansas City is very happy to have you here.
That's very sweet.
And I think I said it, you know, because you have lived here just officially, what, 13 months now, essentially?
Yes, we're officially 13 months.
Yeah.
11, but that's not right. Yeah.
Yeah.
13 months.
It is crazy. I was thinking about that over the holidays, that like you weren't here yet last year during the holidays, you know, like you hadn't, because you came, you left New Year's Day.
I left.
He was at Chili on New Year's Day.
So oh, yes, you were at New Year's Day.
New Year's Day 2018 mm-hmm. was my first, like, hurrah with you mm-hmm. all mm-hmm. At the wonderful Chili supper.
That's mm-hmm. right.
At Coco's parents. But, yeah, that was my first, like, big mm-hmm. thing. But, yeah, that was my first Christmas and Thanksgiving here this year, mm-hmm. which was really fun.
Yeah. And so wintry. Although I suppose that technically you get winter in. It's not like you were coming from the beach.
Yeah.
Very wintry in New York as well.
Yeah.
It's been gross winter here.
What was the biggest change besides just obviously living in Kansas City that came from moving from New York to Kansas City?
I think, and it's just because I'm so in tune with it lately, I think it was the energy. And when I say that, I mean, like, obviously there is a extraordinary pace and high volume of energy on the East Coast.
Sure.
You know, especially in New York. You're, like, just to get across the street and get down into the subway, you're passing 200 people in one city block. I mean, it's like
another 100 people just got off of the train. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? And then, you know, and then you're coming somewhere here in a city that is definitely vibrant and alive and renaissancing, but it's much smaller.
Yeah.
And so there is this thing where you're like, you don't notice people out walking their dog necessarily, or you're not seeing a lot of people on a regular basis outside and around. And that was kind of, the pace of the city was the biggest change for me. I mean, the energy itself of Kansas City is fantastic. I mean, I growing up here, it was nowhere close to what it is now. And so it's very inviting. And I feel like I didn't feel so invited in New York the last 2 years that I was living there. It was more of a struggle, and I feel invited here. So those are two major differences, and I appreciate both of them from both cities. But
on that accord, I've actually, it's so funny that you mentioned walking dogs or whatever, because I had a conversation, we'll call it last week, about the idea that what you said was, is like in New York that you have to pass 200 people, but like here you don't realize, you know, that like people are walking their dog. And I talked about the fact that isn't that strange that like only having one person walk by and walk their dog, you don't notice, but it is happening. But for some reason in New York, you've got 50 people walking their dogs or, you know, or whatever. So like you would think that you would, the one person walking their dog would stand out because there's no one around it. But because it's just one entity sort of walking down, your focus and eye don't even pay attention.
Out on the street downtown Kansas City walking their dog. There wasn't 10 years
ago.
Yeah, I don't even know if 5 years ago there was, but at least there's those people doing those things now. So you're getting this feeling that this city is growing and it's becoming more metropolitan and downtown, and it's really cool. It's really fun. That's why it's like it makes it. I don't necessarily miss New York as a living place.
Sure.
I'm missing that energy I mentioned, but that's what I really like about Kansas City, is that there's still efficient public transportation. There are still people out on the streets at weird times of night. Mm-hmm. There is this energy, there is this vitality, and it's here, and it's moving. And I like that because it keeps that part of me going.
Alive.
It makes me feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause
yeah.
Silence sometimes makes me really uncomfortable.
Whenever you like think about, this is a question I always love to ask people who have moved here. When did you stop saying that you were from New York? You know what I mean? Like, I used to, like, whenever you would come in town, I would always say, this is my friend Tyson, who lives in New York. And when did sort of you drop that sort of, like, that now Kansas City is your home, and you're not Tyson from New York?
I think I'm still guilty of saying it sometimes.
Yeah.
To be honest, because 15 years is a long time. I mean, I'm 35. And I literally moved to New York when I was 17, 18 years old.
Yeah.
So really, if you cut it in half, like, you know, I've spent half my life in New York and half my life here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost weird, too. Like, I almost feel like, I don't know, I still feel like I'm from, it's really hard to explain, I'm from both places, mm-hmm. no matter where I'm at any time. So if I'm living in Kansas City, I'm still from Kansas City and New York. If I'm living in New York, I'm still from Kansas City and New York.
Right.
Is that weird?
No. It's because just, I think it's also that you're...
But I loved that honesty in that
response.
Yeah, I feel
like my soul belongs in both places. Yeah. Because I always came back. I didn't avoid Kansas City when I lived in New
Absolutely.
York. I always came back. I always kept relationships here. So I just feel kind of like I have two of those homes. Mm-hmm. So it's like, It's hard to drop I'm from New York, or even in New York, it was hard to drop I'm from Kansas City.
Mm-hmm. Right. But it's also like your adult years, your formative years mm-hmm. were spent there versus here. I remember that, you know,
yes.
when I learned to drive and graduated high school and went to college in Omaha, and I remember that I would come back and people would be like, but you're from here, you lived here your whole life, and I only lived in Omaha for like 5 years, and I'm like, yeah, but all of like the adult parts?
Yeah.
I did theirs, and I haven't done them. You know, I mean, I have now, obviously, but when I first moved back, I was like, I don't know how to drive places, because when I was living here, I was driven places, because I didn't have a license, I didn't have any of those things that I was like, mm-hmm. I know that that's, I learned all that in Omaha, so even though I'm from here, I don't know this town as an adult,
yeah.
like I did, you know, like
that's,
I did.
That's an excellent point. I mean, there's some major milestones in adult life that happens,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of those milestones for me happened in New York.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't happen without support or relation to Kansas City, but
mm-hmm.
those actual experiences and some of those things happened in New York City, and that's just kind of something you can't
shake.
It's not like I was there for just school. I wasn't
mm-hmm.
just there 2 to 4 years. It's
right.
like for 15
yeah.
years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like dog years, right? Like, it
right.
always feels like 15 normal years in New York years is like 60. Because you're just like,
right.
you just progress in such an advanced way, and you are forced to be more alert and to do certain things that you wouldn't necessarily think about were necessary for survival. So
mm-hmm.
it just kind of ages you.
And I think friendships are very interesting in that regard for you as well, because you had friends before you moved to New York,
mm-hmm.
and then you moved to New York and you found your squad and your people there to depend on, and then you came back to Kansas City,
mm-hmm.
and I know that there has been a lot of like conversations about just the fact of like what that feels like to now sort of be that New York friends are now what used to be your Kansas City friends, and it flipped in some sort of way, and then sort of really putting back together your squad here has been an interesting thing that I don't know if people really like talk about whenever they do move essentially
mm-hmm.
back home, what that's like to sort of put the cake back together.
It's incredibly interesting, and I'm glad you brought it up, because one of the biggest reasons why I moved back to Kansas City, aside from being able to have a job and things like that, is that I felt like I had a lot of friends that were supportive of it and that really wanted me to be back here, and that felt really good. And a lot of friends in New York supporting the change as well. But what I didn't realize is that I was going to come back, and even after 15 years, all my friends have had 15 years of their lives. So they're in different worlds. So I kind of had to re-friend and rebuild those relationships and understand that even though the support is there, I still have to work with those relationships as kind of a new relationship again,
sure.
and a new friendship. And kind of the same thing in New York. Like, I have a handful of friends who have kept in very good touch with me, some who have already come to visit me two
mm-hmm.
or three times,
mm-hmm.
but we're having to do the same thing. And I only assume if I were to move back to New York, even though we've had that long-distance friendship, that face-to-face, everyday friendship would have to be rebuilt and relearned again.
Yeah.
And I wasn't expecting that. So it was kind of a surprise for me, but obviously something that was, a learning moment for me. And just that sometimes expectations, you know, you can't have them, but that they're just not what you expect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that weird?
No.
I think that
was, you know, a learning curve for a lot of people in Kansas City with you as well, in the best way, because we've talked about, Courtney and myself, you know, because we both sort of maintained friendships with you while you were in New York,
mm-hmm.
that it's very easy sometimes to set aside that hour for that Skype or that,
right.
or that phone chat, but then I didn't have to necessarily think of, I trusted you that you had your life together, so then the other 6 days that we didn't talk was just normal life.
Sure.
And now as like a friend in real time, and especially because we're doing a show together, which we'll talk about in a second, I am for the first time in our friendship getting to know Tyson each day.
Yeah.
Like, there's a different, like, I get to watch transformations take place in your life in real time instead of it almost being a recap story after it's finished.
Right.
So it's, I have learned that, and then I feel like you have learned that with me as well, just to be like, well, what did you do this weekend? And now, more often than not, you're a part of that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have to explain the whole story. Teddy did get hockey tickets. You know? Like, it's the jokes. Like,
Teddy did get hockey tickets.
Yeah, there's a line in the Full Monty, which opens a week from today, when this technically airs.
Yeah.
Where...
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
TheBarnPlayers.org.
Wow. I totally
turned
back.
Don't listen to Tyson.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just come see the show.
Uh-huh.
It's at the Arts Asylum.
It is. But that sort of... Yeah, there's a line in the show where it says, I gotta go, Teddy has hockey tickets for tonight. And we were in the read-through, sing-through a week ago now. Was that a week ago? A week ago now. And we all laughed because we were going to the hockey game the next night.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
his role in the show is Teddy. And so it was just so funny whenever the character said, Teddy's got hockey tickets. And I was like, Teddy does have hockey tickets. Which I think is a lovely transition to sort of talk about. You had mentioned that when you were in New York, you sort of fell away from the theatrical arts and moved into fashion. And so before Full Monty, which opens in a week from today, get your tickets at thebarnplayers.org.
Yeah, listen to Corey.
Uh-huh. No. When was the last time you were on stage?
I was trying to think about this today, exactly what year it was, but I think it was 2006 or 2007. It was a little off Broadway play called Welcome Home Steve at the Players Theater on Christopher Street in the West Village, and that was the last time I was actually in a full production.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, theater has always been in my life. I mean, Broadway was in my backyard, mm-hmm. so I was fortunate enough to know a lot of people in the business and get to see pretty much everything on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
I went like once a week. I was obsessed. Mm-hmm.
And for a little while, you were
my addiction. Mm-hmm. Like,
you were a reviewer slash critique.
Yes,
right? Yeah.
I definitely did some theater reviews and some theater criticism for multiple websites. Still doing some things every now and then when I can, but. Yeah, so actually being on stage and going through the experience, it's been, well over a decade, and it's really crazy.
Yeah.
And fun.
Are you having fun?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I feel like it's one of those sort of just second nature things.
Sure.
It's like, even with some, like, relationships even, you can step away from them sometimes, and you just, and maybe not see or talk to someone for a really long time, but you just go back to it.
Yeah.
And it's like, no time has passed. So it feels very fun, and community theater too is so lovely because that's exactly what it's about. It's about the community that's being created when you're going through the process, whether you're on stage or off stage or sewing costumes,
mm-hmm.
or playing a fierce ass saxophone. You're all in this community together, and I think it's finally giving me a sense of being back and being like with my feet on the ground in the Kansas City community again, even after a year. It
mm-hmm.
finally giving me that sense of home. And
I'm so excited that it gets to be a project that we get to work on together.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever done a project together?
No.
Like outside of fashion shows, but we've all done together.
Nope.
No.
I've worked on more productions with you, Courtney, than I've worked with Tyson.
And we've talked about it.
And I don't do theater.
You don't do theater. I know. So it's like,
reason,
but we've talked about like working together
mm-hmm.
in so many different capacities for so long. Like, I mean,
mm-hmm.
I think I said you guys are a box of clothes for a costume for a musical that I want us all to do
yeah.
at some point.
But since you came here, we also, your energy towards that started to come back into my scene too, because it's now, sometimes you sort of feel like that the projects either have to show up for you or, as like someone who's on that side. And you came in town, and I think you were in town for about 4 days before we were submitting to direct at OCTA.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was, like, seriously, you came in and you brought in what you wanted to. And I mean, I don't know if I have any power or say, but if we could create some of that together, isn't that sort of what the purpose is to do that?
That's another huge reason. I think that was a big loss for me in New York. I was getting so caught up in the career I was having and trying to maintain it and flow with the way my industry was moving to try to keep a job and to keep in that environment and to keep paying for a very expensive apartment that was a 40-minute train ride away, you know, like, and so I was losing that initiative and that spontaneity to jump on the things that I really wanted to be a part of.
Sure.
And almost extracurricular, if you will, like, losing those opportunities. And so it meant a lot to me coming back here to take the initiative to really get on board with those things, get back into theater, really change the kind of scope of my job at A to Z and be, you know, add a nuance to it, jump on the board at Kansas City Fashion Week, you know, really get involved in the world because I miss that. Mm-hmm. And I've been welcomed with open arms. So I
like you are part of my Monty show, definitely. I mean, like, it's very cool. I can't believe that.
I love you guys so much. I'm not gonna cry, but I really appreciate both of you, not just now, but obviously throughout the years. So.
This show is not the pinnacle of why you love us. Like, come on,
it is the 40th episode.
It's true. We should have prepared 40 questions.
We did not. Rapid fire 40.
I might have that piece of paper somewhere that has all those questions on it. That
maybe.
I thought I would add, but.
But I just love that a year ago you sat in my tech of your in town and you were just like, I just want to get back on stage. And I was like, just give it time and it will happen.
Yeah.
And then you went through the whole audition process. I made you do it all.
It was nerve-wracking. It was nerve-wracking because I feel like, you know, obviously you're very vulnerable to those things. Mm-hmm. And also the world around you, especially in theater, people are very judgmental. And that's not a good or a bad thing, but it's just, it is a thing that exists. And I think that is part of the reason why I didn't continue to pursue acting is because I hated being judged every time for just being who I was. Like, I'm never going to be the best at anything, but I'm going to do my best at everything.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And if that judgment is not in the same view of other people, then...
Well, I think I cast you perfectly in two roles.
You did.
Yeah.
I just love it. I love my track.
I can't wait. I think I gave you that note the other night. I was like, I think Tyson's track is... It's there. It's so good.
Okay.
So speaking of tracks, this is an odd transition. You also sit on the Kansas City Fashion Week board.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
And we have Kansas City Fashion Week coming up in March.
Yeah,
so if you could tell us a little bit about your involvement with the Fashion Committee and what we have to expect, you know, and look forward to for Fashion Week.
So it's a super fun world for me because I'm actually on two sides of it, which is super exciting. So as the Director of Marketing and Events at A to Z Theatrical is the official producer of Kansas City Fashion Week, which is awesome. Alex and the A to Z crew has been producing it since the beginning for 15 seasons. Well, maybe...
Not the first one. But everything since then.
So for 14 seasons and really adding a level of... professionalism and just wow factor to it, which is super cool. So I get to be on that side. And then I sit on the planning committee board as the media relations coordinator. So kind of helping just bring the scope of the media to Kansas City Fashion Week, not just regionally, but nationally. And it's super fun. So Fashion Week is March 26th through the 30th. We kick off on March 25th. I know, it's right, it's here. Like, that's, I mean, Tisha was, well, hi Tisha. Tisha was blowing up my phone today with, like, I mean, the emails are starting to come. I'm writing a whole, you know, anyway, press releases, pitches, like, all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a kickoff party, March 25th, Bubbly and Bow Ties.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Tickets are available now for both the event and the show.
And all the shows, yeah.
And all the shows.
And I won't left this weekend, I believe.
It is, yeah.
And the shows...
FashionWeek.com. That is the right website.
And shows are Thursday through Saturday.
Yeah, last season
yes.
we had on
Wednesday.
Annette.
Wednesday through Saturday.
Yes, we had Annette on last season before the shows.
Yes.
I also sit on the Fashion Council Board, which is the nonprofit portion of Fashion Week, and I have shown in, 8 of the 14 seasons, I believe.
Yeah.
Ever going to come back?
You know, it's funny. If you had asked me that 6 months ago,
I asked you that like a year ago. I think when you bought the bus, we were talking about.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, I would have said no. I struggle with anxiety and depression. I had previously said, you know, that portion, that chapter of my life has closed. But as my depression has been, and I don't know, which one is it, waxing or waning? Which one's the big one? It's coming, it's here, it's, I don't know, whichever one it is.
I always, now, and listeners, let me know this. I always associate waxing with, like, going away, because when I wax, the hair goes away.
But I think waxing is coming, and waning is going, I believe. Whichever one it is, I have been in a bout of depression for the last few months. And with that comes, I lay in bed at night and collections happen.
Waxing means to increase, get bigger, and waning means to decrease, get smaller.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I may be going on the waning portion of the full moon, but
Google.
It has definitely been very present in my life for the last few months. And therefore, I appreciate and love all people and all artists who say that they create out of happiness. That is not who I am in any way, shape, or form.
I would say 75% of artists created out of of the negative side or the downhill.
Mm-hmm. I definitely said I can't wait to see the art that comes out of the Trump, you know, regime. Because we are still now really just getting the repercussions of 9/11 and stuff like that.
So awesome. Collections have been
the collections are coming to your brain. They are coming back.
So we will see when what season that becomes a thing that I can actually do. But yes. Yes, they have. The creativity has started flowing in.
I think I got a text message at like 2 o'clock in the morning or something, being like,
Oh no.
I'm thinking again.
Damn it.
Well, it's so wonderful, too, to see how, you know, especially the fashion industry, the fashion world is so weird, but like Kansas City is becoming such a epicenter, I will say. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's true. For fashion, lots of just manufacturing and just... skills, the things that Rightfully Sewn does.
Love Rightfully Sewn.
Rightfully Sewn is fantastic. Those kind of things for the industry as a whole, and Fashion Week is such a great platform for the wide spectrum of designers. I had no idea.
Yeah. Did you get to send in on all the interviews since you're on the committee now?
So we got to actually, I got to be a part of the full process this season on the board. Last year, they kind of brought me on mid-process, so I was kind of, you know, just getting my feet wet. Mm-hmm. But I've been, from interviews to model castings to rack checks to
all of that.
It's just so fun because it's another thing that I really love to do, and I'm getting the opportunity to still do them. I haven't lost anything that I was doing. I'm just in a different place doing it.
Absolutely.
And it's really great. So,
would you agree that fashion is not about the clothes but how you wear it?
I think that fashion is about the clothes. I think that fashion is very much about construction. It's about fit. It's about fabric choices. So I think clothes are very important, but it is also about how you wear it.
Yeah.
It can completely change a person's persona. It can completely bring out who a person is. So I think both elements are incredibly important. You know, fashion isn't just an ego stroke of people doing the weirdest, craziest shit.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of stuff has been happening in New York just even today. Fashion Week is happening there now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're in a need for expression right now.
And I feel like fashion has always been that outlet, but it's been kind of under the radar.
Yes.
Also, because of the way the industry is changing, just in the fact that designers are trying to design for now, they're trying to show collections that are actually available, because the consumer now in America, we want that. We want that availability.
Because by the time that it comes out, the new trend is here.
Yeah. Or you see something in a magazine that was never even sold wholesale wise.
Yeah.
So you see this cool dress or this great men's sweater, and you call up the brand and you're like, well, where can I get that? And they say, we didn't make it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It was just what the editor wanted to shoot, and our wholesale team didn't think it would sell. So it's not even available in the first place. But yeah, I think it's that definite combination of what the designer and their teams do with the construction and the fabric and all of that, and then the consumer and how one wears it. I mean, I love clothes. I'm wearing a Todd Schneider cashmere sweater right now because it's just so, I love it. And, you know, it's me, but it's also made really well and it fits me perfectly. Mm-hmm. I have a hard time finding clothes that fit. fit.
I always appreciate the clothes that don't fit you that then I get. So,
which is very true because we've had a lot of those. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, we've had a lot of those. Yeah. I'm a sharer. Like,
you
I'm
are.
True. Tyson has supplied us with good clothes over the years.
I have like these really fun conversations sometimes about fashion because I definitely, you know, because people talk about like, well, I can't afford that. I hear that sometimes. Like, well, of course those pairs of jeans would be look great on me, but I can't afford that. And so then I have often conversations about, and sometimes it happens around a show. I hate to tangent that, but sometimes when you're working with a costumer, like you're trying to like talk about what these people would wear and it not look like it's thrown up there, but that it needs to sort of like fit that. Yeah. You know, it's something that they would choose. And so my husband and I talk a lot about like, when you walk out of the house, even if you have on a pair of sweats, even if you have on a baseball cap, you are representing yourself. That could be the first time that someone sees you, right. And that is what they may associate with you.
It's also interesting when you're going through times in your life, how, to your point, how your outside presence reflects your inside,
right.
Emotions and presence and feeling. The last couple of years I was living in New York, I felt like I was hiding a lot. But I was wearing a lot more hats. I was wearing a lot bigger clothing, things like this didn't necessarily show off what little body I have. Because, you know, not a gym bunny or anything. But
you're getting there. Thank you, Full Monty.
Thank you, Full Monty. And not drinking. But like now I'm like in a place where, for the past year even, I've been kind of... Even if I'm just running across the street, you know, it's like, get money out of the ATM. I'm, like, putting on a nicer jacket. Or I'm, you know, putting on those shoes for the weather. I'm not throwing on a pair of sneakers when there's 2 feet of snow on the ground. I'm actually lacing up my boots. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm taking care of myself on that outside presence as well because it's a reflection of what's going on inside. And I think that's also really interesting about fashion and designers and collections. I mean... Not to mention it, may he rest in peace, but Alexander McQueen was one of my favorite designers because he was just like one of my favorite artists is Mark Rothko. If you look at the two of those people...
Can't wait to do Red with you.
I mean, I'm dying.
I know.
Those two people, you see through their collections, Alexander McQueen went through a very dark time in his life and he put out a very, very dark collection. Same with Mark Rothko and the Rothko Chapel in Houston, Texas. He was going through a very depressive... He also dealt with heavy depression and anxiety. And he went through a very dark time in his art where it was all blacks and grays. And this is a man coming off of oranges and turquoises and layers of different greens.
Yeah.
And then right before Mark Rothko committed suicide, he put out a piece of red art, which gave people hope that he was coming out of his depression. And right before McQueen killed himself... He put out a very vibrant,
very
pink.
His last collection
it
is
absolutely gorgeous. It was feathery and it was fruitful.
Well, it was his release,
exactly.
Yeah.
And then you know, but still, there they were on the dark side. So it's interesting to kind of look at those, kind of analyze that reflection of how you're feeling on the inside is a true reflection of what you're wearing, what you're doing, and how you're acting on the outside.
Yeah. Well, and I think that that's really hard as artists when you have that kind of darkness because it does end up with results that are tangible, that are, you know, well-received because there's nothing out of... You can certainly look at McQueen's collections and say, okay, this is when it was bad or this is, you know, that kind of stuff. But it almost motivates you to stay in that bad place because it's where some of your best inspiration comes from. And then you think, well, I can't not make anything.
Right.
So that, you know, I mean, and so it's a very weird spiral. It's the reason that people who maybe on medication that, you know, equalizes what's going on in their brains don't want to take medication because they feel like it removes a creativity element. You have to have a little of that, you know, crazy, quote unquote, to keep working. There's the show I want to do that is about that called Standing on My Knees that is a woman who struggles with severe mental illness and they put her on a medicine but she's a writer and she cannot write without you know without it
and she's being forced to write and she can't
like her publishers are like you have to continue doing this and she's like well, but the medication that makes me healthy makes me so I can't create you know and that it's
so it's her lifestyle which then whenever she can't do it makes her more depressed and so is it better to be crazy and create or is to be numb and work at a desk job.
Silence.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's and it's very reflective. You know, I feel like particularly that play Standing on My Knees, because we were working on trying to produce that. Please no one take that.
Yes, please.
You know, that idea of it felt different when we read it for the first time 6 years ago.
Absolutely.
And now it starts to reign a little bit different because we're talking about some of the issues inside of that that weren't being discussed
right.
back then.
Yeah.
So yeah, we are obviously all artists, you know, and we
yes.
we show ourselves through sometimes our pain.
Yeah.
You know.
And that's why, just to bring it full circle to fashion, that's why fashion is a form of art, you know, just like food, the culinary arts. It's a form of expression, and I think it's important that people don't forget that fashion is also a large artistic outlet for a lot of people, and it is in an artistic spectrum. It is in within the artistic spectrum as well.
I couldn't agree more on the fact that I think a lot of people forget how many different medias of art there is sometimes. Because
yeah.
you just, I mean, it's sort of stealing from Devil Wears Prada or whatever, but that idea that whenever, like, you're eating that, it's to do culinary arts, when you're eating a taco from Taco Bell, someone designed that. Someone thought about, even as simplistic as it is, going in a plastic
right.
or in a paper bag
yeah.
out of drive-through window.
Yeah.
Someone designed what that's all supposed mm-hmm. to look like, and we just brush it off. And that took time, that took money, that took, like, you know, focus
that's
groups.
Like years, I'm
yeah,
sure. yeah,
years,
yeah.
just to
yeah.
get a plain taco.
Mm-hmm.
the founder with Michael Keaton about McDonald's.
One of the
you
coolest movies ever.
This movie, this is a perfect. It's a perfect example of your point
mm-hmm.
On just kind of how that man was able to
that movie
find
is fucked
that
up.
Development and be able to further it and turn it into a billion-dollar franchise.
Yeah.
So
and do you blame him for being the forefront entrepreneur, or do you hate him for what he did to the original company?
Yeah.
And you sort of have to make that decision. Is,
right.
it, is it one of those that fortune favors the brave? Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry that you didn't have the inclination to take it to the next
right.
step,
mm-hmm.
but am I blamed because you didn't?
Right.
You know.
Well, it's sort of that's
and
like
then
Walmart
they,
as well.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's the same.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I tried very hard to never shop at Walmart. I think that it's a you know its business practices are terrible. But if you go, you know, that's a, they're terrible
yeah.
As well as most of their product is terrible. But when we went last year to Crystal Bridges, and that's in. I can't remember the town in Arkansas that it exists in, but the original Walmart,
mm.
like Sam Walton's, you know,
yes.
corner store.
Yes.
And it's a museum now that you can go into that has all of, you know, his stuff. And then they have, like, the front is, you know, you can buy all of the original things. You can get, like, the original soap,
yeah.
the original candles, and the, you know, the candies. There's an ice cream parlor attached to it where everything is the, like, those prices where you can get an ice cream cone for, you know, 3 cents or whatever. And there is something fucking magical about being in there and being
yeah.
like, I get it. I get why.
I get
this,
why people bought
yeah,
into this.
Yeah, I understand it. You know,
yeah.
it has like his original truck that he used to drive around and like do deliveries. And I mean, it's intoxicating
right.
to be like, you know, am I just pissed at Walmart for being what Sam Walton did? That he, you know,
yeah.
I mean.
Well, that same question was asked about us at the Arts Asylum, which is so
I
interesting.
That.
I know
I
that people were
that.
Like, where did you guys come up with this idea? And I was just like, it came to us. Other people have tried to have an arts facility
mm-hmm.
before. You know, we didn't pull this idea out of nowhere. But the fact that we sort of looked and thought about what other people were doing right and wrong, and then we
mm-hmm.
said, well, what if we did it our way? I mean, you know, the taco's always been created. It's just Taco Bell did it their way.
I also think a bit of the difference with what you guys have done and the success in what you've had. And by the way, congratulations on all the changes. And I was telling Courtney outside,
mm-hmm.
I've seen you guys from the very beginning. I've been here and been able to be involved in it for whatever I've been able to do from the very beginning.
Yeah.
I've seen your growth. But I think what you guys have done with not only the business sense of things, but you haven't forgot about your passion. And I think that is, unfortunately, especially...
The easiest thing to get rid of?
The easiest thing to get rid of, because you get so caught up in everything else. I mean, you have to understand the strategies and business plans and things like that
sure.
to keep going, to be able to fund your passion. But a lot of people in that, on that journey, lose that passion, and you guys have never lost your passion and never will lose your passion.
It might even be growing.
Both are marrying themselves, and you're continuing to build this amazing place for other people like yourselves. And I think that's the other thing. It's not just about what you're wanting
to
do.
It's not self-serving at all.
It's not self-serving. You're doing it for other people to give them the same platform you wanted to give yourselves.
Yeah.
Like, right,
I've told lots of
right
people
now
to stop referring to the Arts Asylum, you know, as like, I love your space. And I'm always just like, we created the space
for you.
Believe it or not,
yes,
it's all for
yes
you. Mm-hmm. I spend hours of stress to make sure that you get the safe
yeah
place and, you know, the standards that we want for ourselves.
Yeah.
As we transition into the small question portion of this, right, I would love
small
to ask
question
you, what if you were granted 3 wishes, what would they be?
Oh my goodness, 3 wishes. I can't remember what I said last time. And
I don't
remember
either. I
that's
don't
what's
have
best
that question at
maybe
that point when
that
we were recording, because that's a pretty new
three
one.
3 wishes, what would they be?
What
right
would they
standard
be?
Standard genie rules.
Yeah.
The first wish would be a global pass, and by that I mean I would love to visit every piece of earth and water and land around this amazing globe. I'd love to see, I love to travel. Travel is my ultimate favorite thing above all my other passions. I don't talk about it as much as I talk about everything else, but I love to travel. You learn so much about who you are and who the world is, and
it's good to get outside of
grace
your own backyard.
It is. It's so eye-opening and inviting. To be able to do so. So I would ask for a global pass so that I could go anywhere and everywhere I wanted
mm-hmm
to go.
Mm-hmm.
That would be wish number one. Wish number two would probably be to... wish number two, how do I want to say this? I would wish that as we move forward in a world, I would wish that we really all individually were free to actually have our own lives and make our own choices.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it's not the case. There's so much shit happening, and part of that would be, I almost wish that we wouldn't change leadership as a country so often,
mm-hmm,
so that we could remain under a rule that is a little more consistent and cohesive as we try to make big changes and move forward.
So what you're saying is maybe sometimes 4 years isn't enough to actually...
Even 8.
Yeah, to sometimes maintain or establish what you're trying
to
do.
Correct,
yeah.
Because it brings out pockets of unknown evil that we don't really
realize, or even known evil in this case.
Trying not to get super political, but I would wish that each individual who has life on this globe would be able to have their own and be able to make their own choices,
mm-hmm,
and live by the way they wanted to, without rule or leadership from someone else.
Yeah.
Okay, wish number three. I would love it if when it rained, it would rain something different. Like, I would love a rain. I would love, like, a thunderstorm of candy.
Do you want it to always be candy, or
no,
is that, or today's rainstorm is candy?
Dial up the rain,
okay,
and say, or snow, or
yeah
any kind of
precipitation,
weather,
okay,
or precipitation. It would give us something other than
fantastic. Ooh, like
snow.
Like a thunderstorm of flower petals.
A thunderstorm of flower petals. How amazing would that be in your day if
absolutely
all of a sudden these
yes
gorgeous flower petals just started falling from the sky?
I mean, that
or
would
like
be wonderful.
Kit Kat bars or
sure
Mickey Mouse ears just started falling from the sky. Like, how great would that be?
Sometimes
amazing
that happens in my dreams.
So,
for
a little,
sure.
That's a little
incredible
bit of a far-fetched wish, but
no,
yeah,
I love that. I dig.
That's fantastic. I have to pull up the rest of my questions.
Miss Perry, if you're nasty.
Hold on. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got to go with crayons, so
yes.
I remember that you answered this, but I don't remember what you said at all, so it's going to be new today.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Okay, so you're a new addition to the crayon box. What color are you, and why?
I am delicious green.
Yes, you
green
are.
Yes.
Delicious
yes
green.
Mm-hmm.
I love green. Green is my favorite color. Your sweater.
Mm-hmm.
I love
mm-hmm
it. It's
mm-hmm
amazing. So I'm like that kind of, the delicious green is that green between like a nice candy apple and Kelly green.
Okay.
So it's like, it's bright, but it still has a little mystery to it, but it's just, it looks
delicious,
so
green.
Tasty, delicious green. Mm-hmm. I'm delicious green.
Yeah. Yes, you are. Yeah. What is something that seems obvious within your profession, but the general public seems to misunderstand?
obvious in my profession to the public, that it takes a lot of work. Mm. It takes a lot of time to create something that is what you want. It doesn't just happen in 2 days. So if you need... if you need to fill a ballroom with extravagant things, we can't do it overnight because mm-hmm. it just doesn't happen that quickly.
You can't just snap and use one of your wishes.
There's no bibbidi-bobbidi-booing happening in what I do.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I agree with that. Mm-hmm. All right, let's see. What was the last gift you gave someone?
Last gift I gave someone? Well, last night I gave the lovely Coco Childs over here some tacos. I think actually the last 3 gifts I've given have been to Coco.
I am not a very good friend.
What a demanding bitch.
I know.
He doesn't expect it, though.
Oh, I know.
I just do it because...
I have a fantastic gift coming his way.
Oh, I just do it because it's fun. Like, I gave him some nice Christopher Elbow chocolate. And then
you asked yesterday, you were like, do you want food? And I was like, I love a snack. And then you brought me 2 delicious, like, chicken tacos from KC Taco. And I was like, this is exactly what I wanted. And I didn't know I wanted it.
Those are the best
kinds. My last question before, like, the last one is, what is something you were told you could never do or do well that you have accomplished or are in the process of accomplishing?
I don't think a lot of people told me I couldn't do anything in my world. I do remember in high school, a lot of people told me that I couldn't go to New York and I couldn't be successful, really. I mean, I think a lot of us hear that, just whatever specificity of success that might be. But that is not the case. So, F you.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Mm-hmm. So, F you, meanie heads.
That's right. All right, well, I have 2. I can't narrow it down to just 1.
Okay.
What's the closest thing to real magic?
A good hug.
Mm-hmm.
Boom.
That is true.
That's good.
Future projects on their way.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you're invisible for 24 hours. What do you do? And, like, time, like, travel isn't necessary. Like, you can just snap your fingers and you're wherever.
Like, if you're like, I need to be in Africa, you just are there.
What do I do? I'm invisible, so no one's seeing me.
No one sees you do anything.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Because there's just so many, just, like, stock answers, I feel like,
that
you could say. 24 hours, I'm invisible. No one can see me doing something. Mm-hmm. What do I do?
What do you do with that time?
I'm stumped.
I can give you some of the previous answers.
Those are so great.
On there.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know why this is. It's hard. It's a hard
question. Katie Gilchrist.
Katie Gilchrist said she wants to sit in a locker room and watch Sporting KC change clothes.
Or the Royals.
I mean, no one can follow up with an answer like that. That is brilliant.
Someone else said they wanted to go into the Oval Office and move shit around just to make Trump go insane.
Yeah, I think that was Spencer.
Mm-hmm.
24 hours, I'm invisible, I can do anything. You know what? I would probably, 24 hours, invisible, I can do anything. I'd probably go on a nice swim under the ocean.
Mm, okay.
Right? So, like, nothing can harm you.
Mm-hmm.
No sharks or anything, even though you're there. But, like, you get to have this experience underwater, totally unabashed.
Sure.
Where you're just like, hi,
that's great.
This world that you never really get to see.
And I sort of feel like that is part of my answer in some form, too, is, like, I just think that I would love to navigate the world and get to watch people without having to worry about them watching me.
Yeah.
Like, I would just love to people watch somewhere and be like, you don't know I'm here, so I can watch you, like, struggle or look at your phone or have a joyous moment and not, like, be worried about them having to put on a show for it. So my last question is always, who would you like to hear from on the couch?
There's some fun people at the Nelson. I think I said this last time.
Mm-hmm.
They're really great. My friend Kelly Franz, who has recently opened a space with her mom called the Everly Crossroads.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
She's done something, her and her mother have done something very similar to what you two have done.
Mm-hmm.
They've taken their passion and a need and a want for something that they think is good for the community.
Yes.
They've opened a space for other people. They don't have a lot of rules or regulations for the weddings that they have there,
mm-hmm.
which is why they're also being they're very successful. So Kelly and her mother would be great guests
yeah.
on the show.
Yeah.
And also create, I mean, they're creating a space too, and
mm-hmm.
they're artists in their own right as well.
Well, yeah, we're
so.
Coming for you, my
yeah,
friends,
great.
So get ready. Well,
great.
Thank you so much for being on the couch today,
thanks,
Tyson.
Guys. I love you guys so much.
I love you too.
My favorite people.
And
love
this
you.
Episode will air on Thursday, Valentine's Day.
Yes, on Valentine's Day.
On Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's Valentine's 40th, Day.
40 for the 14th for the Valentine's
Day.
And then,
my heart is full.
And please get your tickets to come and see the full Monty.
Yes.
Produced by the Barn Players, performed at the Arts Asylum,
yes.
February 21st through March 3rd.
Yes.
It's a good show. It's not just about penises. It's
mm-hmm.
about a lovely story of six men who really like what you will sometimes do for your like people.
And you know what I was thinking about last night, if I may?
You may.
When I was getting out of the shower, even though that sounds weird when you're talking about six men trying to get naked on stage, but the thought came after I got out of the shower. It's also interesting, we talk a lot about body shaming in the world, and we usually associate that only with women,
mm-hmm.
but there's a lot of the same journey that men go on, too,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's very interesting that it's such a safe place and a safe show to be able to also talk about it from the other side, and that's the journey that these men are going on, not just for their families, but for themselves, and they're learning a lot about
they all look at themselves
physically.
In the mirror in this show, either physically
uh-huh.
or personally,
yeah. so
and have
it's
to
really
become.
Good. Everyone should come see it, and mm-hmm. obviously Coco is great. So
you're
yeah,
silly.
Everyone should come support. Come support the Barn Players at the Arts Asylum.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, yeah. Thank you so much. We love you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
And that was this week's episode of Couch Chats. Thanks so much for listening. Tune in next week to see who we've got on the couch. New episodes are available in the KC area on KOJH 104.7 Thursdays at 2 p.m. or on iTunes. Bye!